It is 2023, and among all the other wonders of modern life and technology, you can have a welcome mat at your home that says literally anything. You can get one that says, "You better have tacos." Or you can have it personalized to your own name, or one of my favorites, "Do not ask for whom the dog barks for thee." There is now even a market for unwelcome mats for the introverts and sarcastics among us. Have you seen these? They say things like, "Please leave," or like very succinct, "Go away," or "Come back with a warrant." These anti-welcome mats are tongue-in-cheek, but they also speak to the very natural human tendency to be suspicious and closed off of those that we don't know. And especially in our day and age, the way that we have become so independent and not reliant as much on our neighbors and communities as we once were. It's almost as if the welcome mats are broken. Truth be told, some of the people that come to our doors are uninvited, maybe salespeople or some kind of evangelist of some shape or form. Often leads to some kind of unpleasant inviting to leave, because we want people to only come if we invite them. We want people at our place, on our terms, and under our own control. Because even under the best of circumstances, human relationships are really messy. So many opportunities for hurt and miscommunication and loss. Human relationships are one of the best parts of being human, and they're the things that can hurt the absolute most. Often, and for good reason, our welcome mats to our hearts, to our families, to our lives, to our institutions are broken. We don't welcome others as we should because we've been burned. We're not kind. We don't treat others as we might want to be treated. We act as gatekeepers for our own beloved traditions and inner circles, and we keep that out, which can challenge or change or even invite us out. Our scriptures this morning are about broken welcome mats. The Isaiah text is a reminder to a community who had some problems with their welcome mats. They are returning to the Holy Land after generations away, and they were wondering if they could still belong, even though they were unrecognizable to their ancestors. They had been living, talking, eating, marrying, and becoming another culture for generations. They thought that they would probably have to establish their belonging by differentiating themselves from others in order to truly belong back in their home. But they were reminded by God that their identity was not solidified by exclusion, but by inclusion. That God's house is a house of prayer for all people, a welcome mat to a people transformed by leaving and finding a new way to be home, a more expansive way to be home, a welcome mat through which every family in the world would be blessed. Romans has Paul showing us that our pedigree is not what makes us faithful. We are not born into the way of God. We live into the way of God. So if our welcome mats say something like, "In order to belong, you have to have this sort of pedigree," they're broken. We have the irrevocable gift of God's grace. We belong because of that. The gospel is as sticky as all get out. I don't know if you could tell, it made me cry. It starts off pretty well, right? There are no external hoops that you can jump through to get to be a good person. None of these external things can penetrate your soul. It is only through seeing what is birthed from a person's life that one can see holiness, that transformational relationship. So forget about the perfect church attendance, forget about the favorite pew and liturgies and all that kind of stuff, forget about it. Show me how other people feel in your presence. Show me how well you listen. Show me how you respond when things are complicated and messy. Show me how you love. Show me how you forgive. Show me how you serve. These first few verses are a welcome mat that invites an open heart and faithful action. But then we arrive at the part that got me choked up. The conversation with the Canaanite woman. It's so antithetical to my experience of Jesus that it's hard for me to read. And the most uncomfortable parts are there, I think, because we know what that looks like in the world. We know what exclusion looks like and feels like. We've experienced it. We've seen it. The woman approached Jesus and the disciples in our gospel reading, and she was in desperate need. A parent whose child is hurting is someone who will do anything to pursue healing. We're only as happy and healthy as our least happy and healthy child, right? The disciples were like, get her out of here. Jesus, please get her out. Her daughter was possessed by a demon, the scriptures say. We don't know what that means in 2023 from the first century. She could have been sick with a seizure-inducing disorder. She might have been dealing with a mental illness. She might have had another chronic condition. She might have literally had a demon. But that part's not important. The important part is this. Her child was hurting. Jesus could fix her. And she cried out to him. The disciples had no empathy. She's so annoying. Get her out of here. Shows her status to them, right? They did not think that she was someone worthy of even being shown the basic hospitality of having a conversation, let alone healing. Kicking her while she's down. Gatekeepers of the status quo. Then Jesus responds in a way that makes me weep whenever I read it. Doubling down on that, calling her a dog compared to the chosen ones of Israel. Making sure that all within earshot heard that she did not belong. Her response and quick wit showed her intelligence and her tenacity. Even the dogs get the scraps off the owner's table, she said. She laid down her pride and she took up space because of her hope and her faith for the love of her daughter. Jesus, up until this point, had been working with an ancient script, one that the disciples and his tradition were very comfortable with, the welcome mat that made clear that only some were welcome and some were very much unwelcome. But Jesus departs from the script here. I would like to believe, and some scholars say, that Jesus was using this encounter as a teachable moment for the disciples and others. But I feel like even that would be pretty cruel. The closest approximation to finding peace with this text for me is that Jesus was taught a lot as he grew up in his own religious institutions that were not in line with what God's will is. And that as he walked into his ministry, he learned new things in real time and he embraced them. And move forward in the power that was in him and with him, and it was changing him and growing him and doing the same for whoever he came in contact with. And I think that when Jesus saw the faith and hope in that woman's love for her child, something snapped and he came back online with the Spirit. To me, using someone else as a social experiment is not a very inspiring example. But messing up and changing your ways and doing better, that is inspiring. That shows us how to be human. This mother was a lightning rod for new grace, showing dramatically how the boundaries placed by the religious tradition, by whatever sorts of preconceived notions that folk had about others who were different from them stand in the way of God's grace and love, and how the only antidote for that is changing our minds and opening our hearts. Jesus' welcome mat was broken, but it was transformed. The Spirit that told his ancestors centuries before that God's house was a house of prayer for all people, the Spirit that reminded the faithful that their belonging through the irrevocable gifts of God broke through, and nothing would ever be the same again. May our hearts and minds be transformed so that we can be a welcome for all. Amen.